Good morning and welcome to the Divine Service at Zion Lincoln this morning. Appreciate everybody here and welcome you. We open our worship service this morning with the singing of our opening hymn, How Firm a Foundation.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, July 17th, 2022 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Bill and Diane Breen and Ken Richard. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 728, How Firm a Foundation, hymn number 728 found in the Lutheran service book. Wilma Stocker and Sherry Lowney are sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in thanksgiving for the blessings of family. Nancy Lair is sponsoring the radio broadcast to the glory of God in loving memory of Lucille Lee.
Let us please rise. We begin the service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue now with our responsive psalm for the day, Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall.
Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident.
One thing I asked of the Lord that I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple.
For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock.
And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me.
You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek.
Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation.
For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in.
Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies.
Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me.
I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.
Glory be to God on high. Thank you. be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, grant us the Spirit to hear your word and to know the one thing needful, that by your word and Spirit we may live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this morning from the book of Daniel, the 6th chapter, the first beginning at the first verse, and this text also serves as our sermon text for this morning. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give an account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other presidents and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the presidents and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault, because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." Then these presidents and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever." All the presidents of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction, that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, "O king! Did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing stands fast according to the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked." Then they answered and said before the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day." The king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed." Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you." And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then at break of day the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king, I have done no harm. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to confession, which are these sins that we know and feel in our heart?
Consider your place in life according to the Ten Commandments. Are you a father, mother, son, daughter, husband, wife, or worker? Have you been disobedient, unfaithful, or lazy? Have you been hot-tempered, rude, or quarrelsome? Have you hurt someone by your words or deeds? Have you stolen, been negligent, wasted anything, or done any harm?
The epistle reading from Colossians, the first chapter. You who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the gospel of the Lord, we confess our common Christian faith to the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man
and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of the hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 575, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less, hymn number 575 in the Lutheran Service Book.
The sermon text this morning is today's Old Testament reading, Daniel and the Lion's Den. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So the Holy Bible is a book of history, but it's not just a history book. It is a book of the history of Christianity, or history of God's actions in this world. And we are taking a brief survey this summer of God's actions in this world. And we've touched on four things already that are in the Old Testament that prefigure or look forward to the coming of the Christ, or point to the Christ. Those things are, first, there was God's promise to Adam and Eve after the fall into sin that one would come who would crush the serpent's head. That one is Jesus Christ, and it refers to his suffering on the cross that would deal a mortal blow to Satan and devastate in the Satan's devastating effects of that first temptation. Then, about 2000 BC, came Abraham. Abraham, if you remember, raised a knife in obedience to God's command to slay his very own son. And then right when he was going to take his son's life, the angel called out, "Abraham, don't do it, for I know now that you fully trust and have confidence and have faith in me." And as Abraham turns, remember there's the ram caught in the thickets, and the ram is sacrificed as a substitute for Isaac. And of course this prefigures Christ, who is our substitute. You know, rather than we being put to death for our own sins, Christ was put to death in our place for our sins. Then there's about 1500 BC, God raises up Moses to free the people, his people who are in slavery in the land of Egypt. Now God is working in history to fulfill his promise to send the Messiah, and that 10th plague where the death of the firstborn, you remember that, when Moses says to the Pharaoh, "Let my people go." "No, I'm not going to let your people go." Now becomes the 10th plague. And God says the firstborn of all creature and firstborn male child in Egypt will all be put to death. But you, to the people of Israel, if you sacrifice the lamb and put the lamb's blood on the doorpost of your house and on the lintel of your house, the angel of death will pass over you. Right? And what are we told later about baptism? Baptism, Christ's blood is placed on you in your baptism, so that on the last day, the day of judgment, God's wrath and judgment will pass over you because you are washed in the blood of the Lamb. You are baptized into Jesus Christ, and you will live forever with Christ in paradise. Then there was David and Goliath. David delivered the people of Israel from the wrath of the Philistines, pointing ahead to Jesus defeating Satan and delivering us from the slavery of death and sin. And today we look forward another 500 years to roughly around 500 BC, right? But you got to figure out first just a little bit what happened after David defeated Goliath. Saul was deposed as king. Saul was killed. David was raised up to be the king of Israel. And he was a good king, a faithful king. He had his faults. He was a sinner, but he confessed his sins before God. And this is where God judges him to be good and faithful, because he confesses his sin and believes God's absolution. But David's sons, there's some issues there. All right, you got Solomon, who built the temple in Jerusalem, started his reign as a faithful steward of God's people, but as he grew older, you know that he married many, many, many foreign wives, and they turned his heart away from the Lord. He even built temples in his kingdom to their false gods. And because of Solomon's unfaithfulness, God said he would snatch 10 tribes from Solomon's son, Rehoboam. So after Solomon died, God divided Israel into two kingdoms, 10 tribes in the north, 2 tribes in the south. The 10 tribes in the north are Israel, the 2 tribes in the south are Judah. The northern kingdom was led by a series of kings who, the scripture says, all did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they led the people of Israel away from God. In time, God handed them over to the Assyrian Empire, who took them into exile and dispersed them throughout their entire territory. And the northern kingdom, those 10 tribes of Israel, completely disappeared. They are now lost to history. The southern kingdom fared just a little bit better. Among David's descendants, there were some decent men and 2 remarkable men of faith. Hezekiah and Josiah were excellent kings, but for the most part, the kings went away from their command to follow the Lord God, and they went down a path of disobedience and a path of idolatry that ultimately led for God to allow the Babylonian Empire to invade and take over the southern kingdom. This empire conquered Jerusalem, looted the temple, burned the city to the ground, tore down the walls that surrounded the city, and took most of the survivors into exile where they lived for roughly 70 years. And just like their brothers and sisters in the northern kingdom, because of their disobedience to God, they earned this punishment. They earned this punishment from God, and they earned nothing but to disappear from the pages of history forever. It's one of those stern warnings that stands in Scripture to each and every single one of us, to be watchful and watch out. People are no different today. So if we were to daily reject God and run after other people or things we think that will fulfill our lives or make us thrilling, or figure out that we want something other than what God has offered, well, like Judah, if we were to do that, we would deserve to be driven from God's presence. We would be exiled from the house of the Lord, and we would be suffering in chains, and ultimately, without repentance, we would find ourselves thrown and cast into the pit of hell and eternal damnation. But we have a God who loves His children, a God who loves His people. You, me, all the children of Judah, He remembered His promise to raise up one of David's sons. He remembered to send the promised Messiah. So what did God do? He watched over the exiles of Judah. He sent them great prophets like Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And He sent them a remarkable leader prophet named Daniel. What did the Babylonians do? They took promising young, intelligent people, carried them off into exile, and trained them to be leaders in their own country, partly so that they could be formed into good little servants of the kingdom, but also so that they would be enculturated into the Babylonian Empire and become eventually Babylonians themselves. And we know about Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These were men who went into very strict training to become the wise men in the Babylonian Empire. They would be magistrates and advisors to the king. And in many ways, the course of David's life is very similar to that of Jacob's son, Joseph. Both were brought in chains to foreign world power. Both went through trials and difficulties to rise to high positions. Both were leaders who conducted themselves with great integrity and honesty and faithfulness, and their emperors appreciated the work that they did within the kingdom. Daniel was able to use his position in the Babylonian government to watch out for those Israelites who were from the country of Judah, and he was able to bring glory to God in various situations. And then the unthinkable happened. Babylon was conquered by the Persian Empire. And suddenly Daniel was a government official who was on the wrong side. He could have been executed, but he wasn't. The Persian Empire took a liking to Daniel and enabled him and embraced Daniel and gave him a high position within the Persian Empire. And Daniel proved himself so efficient, so skilled, and so honest that the emperor was prepared to raise Daniel to the highest position, to the king's right hand, administering the whole empire on behalf of the king. Well, I'm sure some of you in your own professions have to deal with office politics, but what we see here at Daniel is going through is the ultimate in office politics. They set him up for failure, all those people he was appointed over. They were mad at that. They were displeased with that. They wanted to bring Daniel down. And so they decided to set up the king, and they decided to set up Daniel. Looking for a way to discredit Daniel and change the emperor's mind about him, first they looked for some kind of corruption, some kind of fault within Daniel, and there was nothing that they could find, and they only came to realize that the only way they'd ever be able to trip him up was to find him some way to trap him as regarding his God and faith in his God. So what do? They butter up the Emperor Darius, the King Darius. They get him to issue this edict according to the laws of the Medes and Persians that, all right, nobody prays to any other god for 30 days but the king. Nobody raises any petitions to any other god. Only pray to the king and only ask the king things. Well, Darius thought that was a great idea, and you know, his pride got the best of him, and he signed the legislation into law, and just as they suspected, these satraps and presidents, that Daniel would not obey, and Daniel goes right to the window in his house and prays where he's prayed every day of his life since he's been in Babylon and been raised to that position. He turns towards Jerusalem and makes his petitions to his God, the God of Israel. Of course, they think they've got him. They're ready to have him. We're going to get him killed. We're going to discredit him before the king. Well, they caught him and dragged him before Darius, and Darius tries to get Daniel out of it, but there's nothing he can do. And so, according to the laws of the Medes and the Persians, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. His fate was sealed. And what did Darius say to him? May your God, whom you serve continually, may that God deliver you. Darius returned to his palace that night. He ate nothing. He allowed no entertaining diversions to be brought to him. And after a very long and sleepless night, Darius rushed to the lion's den early the next morning and stood by the den. And in an agonizing tone, he cried out, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the mouths of the lions? And Daniel, even now showing respect to the king, said, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel to close up the mouths of the lions, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him and before you, O king. I have done you no harm. Darius was exceedingly glad at this, and he ordered the stone to be removed from the entrance to the den. Daniel was lifted out of the lion's den with no injury on his flesh whatsoever. And when the relieved king received Daniel back safe and sound, his wrath turned upon the men who set Daniel up. He ordered them to be cast in the lion's den, they and their families, and the lions killed them before they even hit the ground. Then Daniel took his place at the king's right hand, administering the Persian Empire for the benefit of the king and also for the benefit of the people of Israel. So obviously this was vitally important for the children of Israel, that Daniel would remain in a position of influence. But this event of Daniel in the lion's den is important for another reason. It prefigured another aspect of God's saving mission, the mission that God's Son would come and do. Like Daniel, Jesus too was accused of violating imperial law. Jesus was accused of violating Roman law. And like Darius, the Roman leader Pontius Pilate sought for a way to set Jesus free. He tried and he tried and he tried. But like Daniel, Jesus' accusers would not let up and would not let up. And finally, the king was forced to put Jesus to death. Jesus Christ suffered and died on the cross in order to take away all of our sins. Jesus was buried in a large tomb, and what was placed on the stone that covered the tomb? A seal, so that it wouldn't be broken, just as the seals was put on the stone rolled over the lion's den. Early on the third morning, God the Father ordered an angel to roll the stone away so that God the Son would walk out of the stone, and the entrance of the grave would be open so that the women who rushed to the tomb to complete Jesus' burial, they would find his body missing. Just like Daniel, Jesus left the tomb alive and well. And just like Daniel ruling under Darius, Jesus was raised to his place at the Father's right hand to administer the rule of God over all creation for the benefit of his people. And his people are the Holy Christian Church. That is you. Jesus Christ is at the Father's right hand, governing and ordering this world and this universe and this cosmos for your benefit, for you, so that you would hear the word of God, receive the sacrament of the altar, receive the sacrament of holy baptism, and be brought at the last to eternal life and raised up on the last day to life eternal, to live forever in the new heavens and the new earth. We've seen five previews of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, how God showed his people the saving work that the Messiah would do and he would accomplish by his death and his resurrection. Interestingly, these things took place about every 500 years. So next week we'll move forward another 500 years. We'll flip over from B.C. to A.D. and we'll find about the birth of God's promised deliverer, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In whose name we say, Amen. And now may that peace that passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds, the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Let us now all rise for the singing of the offertory.
You have been sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM, or on Facebook Live, or on the Internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you anyway, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
Let us rise for prayer. We pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious God, many are the temptations which befall us, and like Daniel, we are called to kneel and worship you and you alone. The foolish of the world would throw us to the lions, lions of peer pressure, lions of fear, addiction, denial of your holy uniqueness, and other lions that we may face. May we, like Daniel, stand firm in the face of trial and temptation. May we too have faith that says, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. And we humbly yet boldly ask that you, O Lord, would send your holy angel to bind the mouths of the lions in our lives. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Dear Jesus, as we approach your holy table, may we, like Elijah, rise, eat, and drink, and thus be strengthened for the journey before us. We ask that in this sacrament of Christ's true body and blood, we would find before us the strength to face the days ahead in a holy and certain confidence in the forgiveness of sins and the promise of life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
O Christ, Even as we pray for our congregation and school to prosper through the preaching and teaching of right doctrine, and with workers enough to fulfill the needs of the harvest, so too do we pray for our Central Illinois District as we meet this week in convention. Lead President Miller by your Holy Spirit as he directs our convention, and grant that our resolutions approved would be enacted throughout the district. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
We pray also, Almighty King, for those among us who are sick or who are recovering from illness. Grant your hand of healing upon Bob Albert and Kelly Hazley. Bless those recovering from surgery, such as Carl Awe, and strengthen all those who are weary in body and mind and soul, that they may once again find joy in the life that you have given them. In your gracious and holy name we pray and ask these things. Amen. We continue now with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient to death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to strengthen and preserve you in the true faith and to life everlasting. Depart in His peace. Amen.
Please rise. The true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the true faith into life everlasting. Depart in His peace.
Amen. Amen.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 921, On What Has Now Been Sown, hymn number 921 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please be seated. Just a couple quick, brief announcements this morning. Remind everybody that not this coming Tuesday, Monday and Tuesday is district convention, but next Tuesday is voters meeting. So we have a voters meeting next Tuesday, business of the congregation to enact. I just saw a note in the Zion's Light that there are in the board chairman's boxes the budget sheets for next year. So we'll be working on the budget and approve that in the October voters meeting. This voters meeting, copies of the constitutional revisions will be going out. We're in the midst of a constitutional review process. So those revisions will be going out in July. And then at the next quarterly voters meeting, we bring them before the congregation for approval. So we'll have an entire quarter to look through those revisions to the Constitution. We may also have some staffing things to take care of at voters meeting. So remember, please, 26th, is that right? July 26th, 7 p.m. here at church for voters meeting. And may the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out and from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.